Of all the stories perhaps we've told, what I want to talk about now may be the biggest fraud of all times. And everybody, all the voices in the media and the health departments, they are a part of this. To be clear, the discussion we keep hearing and the reason for lockdowns and the discussions around this entire presidential campaign in America came down to, we have rising cases like crazy, and Donald Trump doesn't seem to care about that. This entire election became about cases, cases, cases. You know what I'm talking about, because this is all you've been seeing.
Cases skyrocketing.
New cases.
New cases.
More reported cases.
More daily cases than ever before.
Yesterday, we had 83,000 cases.
We do see slight upticks in cases.
The coronavirus crisis is intensifying.
Doctors say the numbers haven't looked this concerning since the start of the pandemic.
Rates of growth are alarming. They seem to be as bad or worse than they were back in the spring.
We are having some of the largest outbreaks that we've had during the entire pandemic. And 9-10 months into this pandemic, we are still largely not quite prepared.
We have a lot of work ahead of us.
As lines for COVID testing stretch blocks in some states, the results are rocking regions big and small.
There are new rules for travelers going to New York. The state will require visitors from non-neighboring states to be tested before and after they arrive.
The governor is now shutting down all indoor dining starting this Friday.
Chicago seemed to have this more under control than other regions of Illinois, but that's no longer the case.
Fargo, North Dakota, implementing the state's first mask mandate.
In the last month especially, our active cases have more than doubled.
California Governor Gavin Newsom taking a rapid test at this new facility that will double the state's testing capacity.
Why is testing, in your view, key to opening schools and opening businesses again?
It's the fastest route to actually know where you are.
And public health experts are sounding the alarm about the holidays.
As experts are warning, with the current trend in cases, your Thanksgiving and your Christmas plans could be at risk.
I am going to attempt to make this as simple as absolutely possible to understand for anyone out there that may at least have a molecule of red blood moving through your brain. Tune in. I have one question for you. Let's post this. If COVID is a deadly virus, of course, we're talking about COVID-19, what should we see when cases increase? Na, 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 na. Come on, folks. Think about it. If COVID is a deadly virus, as we're being told, and we're locking down, what should we see when cases increase? That's right. An increase in deaths. Correct? Are we all on the same page here? Right? Deadly virus, increase in cases, we should see increasing deaths. Are we? Well, let's look at how the articles are talking about this. If you look, coronavirus updates, United States tops 100,000 new virus cases in a day for the first time ever. The U.S. reported its second highest number of new COVID-19 cases on Election Day with more than 91,000 infections. And then last one, U.S. coronavirus cases surpassed 9 million, driven by the silent epidemic of asymptomatic infections. That's what we're seeing, right? Gigantic rise, biggest numbers ever. We got to do something. We are terrified. Once again, Scott Atlas made this as clear as he possibly could in this tweet. Take a look at this. Anticipating hate, because this is fact, not opinion, but cases in blue and deaths bottom red, hashtag facts matter, hashtag perspective. Just leave that there for. I want you to really wrap your head around this. The deaths are in red. It doesn't matter how many cases and all the testing that's going on, cases going through the roof, worst day in history, America terrified, France locking down, Spain locking down, UK locking down. Of course, we're looking at America right here. Deaths going nowhere. So let's look at this headline. Top Trump advisor, because this is what's happening, right? How dare he say it? Top Trump advisor bluntly contradicts president on COVID-19 threat, urging all-out response. Of course, we're talking about Deborah Birx. Here's what she has to say. We are entering the most concerning and most deadly phase of this pandemic, leading to increasing mortality, said the November 2nd report from Deborah Birx, coordinator of the White House Coronavirus Task Force. This is not about lockdowns. It hasn't been about lockdowns since March or April. It's about an aggressive, balanced approach that is not being implemented. Really, Deborah? We're going into the worst death we're ever going to see from COVID-19. You going to stick with that? Because when we look at the worldometer, daily new cases, this is what we're seeing. Daily new cases are definitely on the increase because every idiot on the planet is running tests like crazy. But then if you look at what's actually happening, the same charts on daily deaths, going nowhere. Flatline for almost 2 months now. Even though everything, cases are increasing, what is really going on? And to make this even more clear, I want to show you state by state across America. Remember the question. If COVID-19 is a deadly virus, what should we see with the increase in cases? We should be seeing, obviously, some form of, an anecdotal, like a rise in deaths, right? Take a look at state by state. This is deaths per million. So it doesn't matter how big your state is or what your population is. These are the total cases, right? Looking at in the blue. So if you look at North Dakota there, they have nearly 60,000 cases, but the deaths are in red. Look at that, that tiny little lump, those little bumps at the bottom, those little pimples at the bottom of this graph show you that it doesn't matter if you're up at 60,000 or you're like Vermont down, under 5,000 cases, the death rates don't really change. They're all there. They're all bottoming out. There's nothing in this rise in cases that is telling us that this is it's not a deadly disease anymore. It can't be. This is not a deadly disease, or something is going really, really wrong. These charts may be showing us the true fraud of what's going on around the world. And that's what I want to talk about. Remember when we had Dr. Yeadon just a couple of minutes ago saying he believes that this virus has already disappeared. I want to focus in on one part of his conversation. Listen to this one more time.
I think the PCR test at present is throwing up so many false positives that in fact we're misdiagnosing the cause of the deaths that are being reported. The number of deaths occurring at the moment is normal for the time of year.
He said the PCR tests are throwing up so many false positives that it's creating essentially a false narrative. Now, I need you to grab a cup of coffee if you can, because we're going to go through a little bit of science. I want to take you through a conversation now that we've been looking at for weeks, but I've been trying to think about how to best present this problem as we see it. So let's look at the testing, right? There's really two essential tests that we're talking about. The PCR test, the molecular test, nucleic acid detection, diagnose. Now, we all know this. If you're trying to work a job, maybe you're in Hollywood, you're trying to get on the set so you can work, they ran this swab up your nose. One person even leaked brain fluid. It went so deep and was so terrifying experience. But there it is. They ran this thing up your nose. They get some of this, nasal gook, whatever you want to call it, and then they run the PCR test. You send it in and you get your test back. They extract, so this is how the process works. They extract the RNA from the specimen, they convert it to DNA, and then this is the part you've got to really try to wrap your head around it. They amplify by PCR with SARS-CoV-2 specific primers. They amplify it and then they interpret the results based on the presence of viral RNA. And RNA indicates active SARS-CoV-2 infection. Of course, we also have the antibody test, but that's not what I'm going to talk about today. I want to talk about the PCR test. This is very, very important to understand. Remember, amplification is the conversation. Let's take a look at this PCR test study. Viral RNA load as determined by cell cultures as a management tool for discharge of SARS-CoV-2 patients from infectious disease wards. So this is the article I want to take you through. So let me explain what this study did. The study essentially looked at PCR tests in a large group of people. They were looking at what rate were they infected. And they also, after the PCR test, went and cultured the samples to see if they could see virus, to see how accurate the test was. How do they culture it? Essentially, they take that little bit of DNA or RNA and they put it in an animal to see if it can grow. This is what they discovered, okay? Now, let me show you how this works. Right here at the bottom, what you have is the amount of cycles. Right here we have 13 cycles, 15 cycles, 17 cycles, 18 cycles. Remember, the discussion is amplification. Each time a cycle is run with a PCR test, you're amplifying more. You're going deeper and deeper in, right? It's like an NCIS where they have a license plate in the video, and you're going deeper and you're going deeper in to see if you can read what's on that license plate, to see if there's something there, if there's information. And so each cycle amplifies it even more. Well, here's what the study looked at. When you look at this entire graph, this over here is the percentage of positive culture, meaning after they did the test, then they took and said, was it accurate? Yes. What they found was when there was about up to 17 cycles, 17 amplifications right here, 17 cycles maximum right there, you have 100% success rate. If they ran your PCR test through 17 cycles and it comes out positive, 100% chance you have COVID-19. But here's what gets interesting. After 17 cycles, when we go to 18 cycles, 19 cycles, we start watching the quality of the information is dropping, right? At 27 cycles, now you have about a 60 to 70% chance of having a correct diagnosis and therefore 30 or 40% false positive rate, all right? Now here's what gets critical. Let's come across, let's say at what point do we say this thing isn't gonna help us at all? I say at the point where you're say what, 80% false positives? If we were at 80% false positives, meaning we're getting 80 out of 100 people are being said to be positive, but they're wrong, they don't have this, where does that take place? So let's look at, this is it. 20% effective, meaning 20% will be a correct positive. Follow this across, right here. Right here, okay? How many cycles are you only 80%, are you only 20% accurate? 33 cycles. 33 amplifications with a PCR study, and now you only have a 20% success rate. 80% of you are getting false diagnosis. And then after that, it drops off. I mean, look at this. You get to 35, 38, you go this way. No chance that a positive test is correct. Okay? Now, let's look at this next study because this is important. So this is looking at the amount of cycles, correct? This is another study. This is it. Are you infectious if you have a positive PCR test result for COVID-19? Now, this study looked at something a little bit different. What they were asking is not only, remember the thresholds, they're recognizing that we can't be, if we go over 30 amplifications, so the 33 was at, remember, 20% was the only accuracy there. This is asking, at what day did you get the test? At what day did you test, get your PCR test? And remember, what they're dealing with, and this is critical, the symptom to test days. So what they're saying is on the day you first had symptoms, how accurate is the study going to be if you get your PCR test that day, the day you maybe had some fever or started having this cough? And what they found, now look at over here, what you'll see is this is the amount of amplification. Remember, at 33, we're useless. So they kept it under 30. They kept it between 20 and 30 amplification cycles, right? And what did they find? This right here, 20, probability of culture positive, meaning probability that they're catching it right, is over here. So on day zero, the first day that you might have had these symptoms, if they test you, you have right here about a 40% chance it's going to be accurate. 40%, that's it. Day two, about the same. Now, here's what they recognize here. 3 or 4 days after the moment you have symptoms, then if you get the PCR test, we could get some pretty good results. We could be about 80% accurate when we tell you you've tested positive. 80%. only on day 3 and 4. Remember, after developing symptoms. But then day 5, it goes down, 6, 7, and then it just disappears. From here on out, day 6 and beyond, any PCR test is essentially useless to you. It doesn't matter how low or how much amplification. If they're finding something, it's not real. It's not there. You're just finding a fragment that has nothing to do with it. So the days after being symptomatic really matter, on top of the amount of cycles which they try to keep below 30. Now stay with me on this. I know it's a lot of numbers. I want you to think about this. These are symptomatic people. Yet what we're being told is the silent epidemic is the asymptomatic. All these people that are getting PCR tests didn't go in on day 1 because yesterday they started having a fever, or day 3 or 4 because they weren't feeling good for the last 3 or 4 days. They have no symptoms at all. So what are the odds that they're showing up right here? None at all. Odds are, if you are asymptomatic and you get a test, you're somewhere out in this Neverland over here, the place where this test is useless to you. If you did catch this thing and you never felt it, you probably were symptomatic. I mean, you were probably started this thing, what, 20 days ago, 30 days? We don't know. This is a total and complete disaster. But I'm not the only one that was looking at it. In fact, we know that the New York Times did an article on this. Let's take a look at this. Your coronavirus test is positive. Maybe it shouldn't be. This is their investigation, New York Times. Remember, after 33 cycles, this thing is useless. And after day three and four of being symptomatic, it's useless. Most tests set the limit at 40 cycles. A few at 37 cycles. The CDC's own calculations suggest that it is extremely difficult to detect any live virus in a sample above a threshold of 33 cycles. Officials at some state labs said the CDC had not asked them to note threshold values or to share them with contact tracing organizations. North Carolina's state lab uses the Thermo Fisher coronavirus test, which automatically classifies results based on a cutoff of 37 cycles. A spokeswoman for the lab said testers did not have access to the precise numbers. Sorry about that. Officials at the Wadsworth Center, New York State Lab, have access to CT values, cycles from tests they have processed, and analyzed their numbers at the Times request. In July, the lab identified 872 positive tests based on a threshold of 40 cycles. In Massachusetts, from 85 to 90% of people who tested positive in July with a cycle threshold of 40 would have been deemed negative if the threshold were 30 cycles, Dr. Mina said. I would say that none of those people should be contact traced. Not one, he said. This is outrageous. And I when we were looking at this, I reached out to a friend of mine or an inside source, an ER doctor, and I said, what study, like what test are you using at your hospital to test the PCR test for COVID-19? And do you happen to have any idea of how many cycles that test is using? I wanted my own real information. And so he sent over the brochures for Luminex. Is it Luminex? Luminex? Here we go. Luminex, COVID-19 Testing and Research Solutions. This Aries is the product made by Luminex. Aries SARS-CoV-2 assay. Look what they explain. When you use this test, development and evaluation of two SARS-CoV-2 RT-PCR laboratory developed tests on the Aries automated sample-to-answer real-time PCR system. Here's what they say. Forget about the Celsius and 95. Look at the bottom. How many cycles? 45 cycles is what this test is using. And Luminex is one of the top 4 PCR tests in the United States of America. They're using 45 cycles, meaning 100% of the people that are hitting those numbers are they don't exist. They don't have any cases. It's not a real case. As been described, you could bump into somebody with COVID-19 and perhaps a fragment floats into your nose, a viral fragment, may not be alive. You don't get contagious. Maybe your body fights it off. Maybe it has no reaction whatsoever. But this PCR test is amplifying so far, it is saying, look, we found viral particles. But in all the studies that tried to then reproduce that and see if it was infectious, they found out it's not. So how is it the asymptomatic carriers are the ones spreading this? And this is what's getting us locked down. What's getting us locked down is a bunch of 40 cycle PCR tests that are 100% inaccurate. Do you see the scam? And in case you think, well, Dell, I mean, that's a perspective. It's the New York Times, and maybe you're agreeing with them. Why don't we go to the great God of medicine we've all been bowing down to and see what he has to say about the cycles being used in PCR tests? Hold on to your seats, folks. They know.
What is now sort of evolving into a bit of a standard that if you get a cycle threshold of 35 or more, that the chances of it being replication competent are minuscule. Mm. So that if somebody, and you know, we have patients, and it's very frustrating for the patients as well as for the physicians. Somebody comes in and they repeat their PCR and it's like 37 cycle threshold. But you almost never can culture virus from a 37 threshold cycle. So I think if somebody does come in with 37, 38, even 36, you got to say, you know, it's just dead nucleotides, period.
He actually says it can be a little bit frustrating for the patient and the doctor if you come in and you get the 37 cycles that test positive and, you know, obviously frustrating. It's not frustrating to be a patient. It's frustrating to be a nation that is being destroyed by this lie, Tony, and you know it. Where have you been on TV saying we are demanding that there be, you know, a standard set for all PCR tests, nothing over 30? Really, honestly, let's be honest, it shouldn't be anything over about 25, because even 80% success is not enough. 20% of people were bloating the numbers. This is a horrifying discovery. When you start finding out that the New York Times said that every single lab they looked at is way over the threshold where Tony Fauci says you have to admit it's really not an infectious viral particle, what? Yet CNN, perhaps the news agency that's going to force the next president upon us, this is what they're, let me remind you of this headline. This is what we're being told. The U.S. coronavirus cases surpassed 9 million, driven by the silent epidemic of people that were never symptomatic, went in too late for the trial, and then had a PCR test that was so magnified it is 100% inaccurate. They are locking people down. They are beating people with batons around the world. There are traffic jams trying to get out of Paris to a cottage so that they can have some sanity. And this is right around the corner for the United States of America. This, my friends, is the greatest fraud of all times. There may be a virus called COVID-19, but the tests that are being used to discover it on the people that have no symptoms, so we never knew when they might have come in contact with it, are a complete and total part of one of the greatest lies ever told to the world and in the United States of America.
If you like that clip, then be sure to check out our live broadcast of The High Wire every Thursday morning at 11 a.m. Pacific time. You can watch it on Facebook, iTunes, and Twitter. We'll see you there.